Welcome back to the OU Daily International Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Yom Shishi, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Yisrael, the 23rd day of the month of Shvat. As always, it is great to be back with all of you. Thank you to our incredible and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for their continued support. And his names are prominently listed in the OU Daily email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for Monday's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce Rabbi Mark Spivak of Congregation Or Torah in West Orange, New Jersey, to share Dibrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Spivak slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek, Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishnah Berach, Lecholim, and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation on this short Friday with Rabbi Spivak to learn more about his wonderful community in West Orange. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding a Monday speaker. Bechavot, with great honor, Rabbi Spivak.
I'd like to thank the OU for bringing us all together to say Tehillim. There's a tremendous need to say Tehillim today as we're facing so much tzaras, so much pain in the world as a whole, in the Jewish world in particular. Over the last few weeks, we've lost many Jewish leaders who've passed on. So like many, my family has started a WhatsApp train. So if, what happens is somebody says Tehillim, and then when you have a few minutes, you say a parak Tehillim, and then you write down what you said, and then the next person picks it up, and so we continue to say Tehillim in that way. However, as important as it is to say Tehillim, it's just not enough. This Shabbos, we read Parshas Yisro, and Rabbi Wolbe asked, why of all Parshos, Parshas Yisro, of Matan Torah, of the giving of the Torah, is named after a non-Jew? Yitro is the father-in-law of Moshe, who was not a part of the Jewish people at the time. So Rabbi Wolbe mentioned that if the Parsha should be named after anybody, it should be named after, if it's going to be named after a person, it should be named after Moshe. So Rabbi Wolbe gives a very important answer. He says that Yitro read about the miracles that happened to the Jewish people, about Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, and the splitting of the sea. In a place like the New York Times, he actually writes that, he says, in the New York Times. And most people just say, oh, that's a nice story. And then they'll do nothing about it. But Yitro did something. He came, and he wanted to be a part of it. He wanted to help. He wanted to help Moshe and the Jewish people. And he even advised Moshe on how to have proper Jewish leadership and a functioning court system. The leaders that we lost the last few weeks did not just sit back when they read problems about the Jewish people and what's happening in the world. People like Rabbi Avraham Tversky saw various populations of Jews who our community just did not know how to deal with. People who were suffering from addictions, whose families didn't know how to help them, who the Jewish leaders did not know how to help them. And he went out and taught us how to help them. He looked to other populations, such as those who were in jail, those who suffered from spousal abuse, those whose marriages were suffering because of internet images. And he did something about it. He did whatever he could. He wrote books. He spoke. He started organizations. And all the other leaders who passed away, all these other leaders, such as Rabbi Feinstein, Rabbi Kellner, Rabbi Avidan, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Shiner, and all these others, we lost so many over the past just few weeks. When they saw a need, they did not just sit back, but they tried to do their best to do something about it, to try to help the situation. We need to say Tehillim, but we also need to find ways that we can help during this time, such as visiting people who are alone, cooking, help tutoring children who are struggling in their Torah learning because they don't have the same type of education. And we have to do that with Tehillim and with Tefillos. We can only daven that Hashem will have rachmanos, have mercy on us, that he'll end this magefa, this plague. We'll read Tehillim Chaf Gimel 23, Chaf Gimel. Mizmor leDavid Adonai roi lo echsar. Binos deshe yarbitzeni almei menuchos yinahaleni. Nafshi yeshovev yancheni b'magle tzedek leman shemo. Gam kielech the gates almaves lo yira ra kiata imadi. Shiftecha mishantecha hema yinachamuni. Taroch lefanai shochad neged zorarai. Ishanti v'Hashem in Roshi Kosi Rivaya. Ach tov v'chesed yirdifuni kol yimei chayai. V'shafti b'veis Adonai. La'orech yamin. We'll read Kuf Chaf Aleph 121. Shiel amalos esayinei alarim me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai. Osei shamayim varet. Al yitema mot raglecha. Al yanum shomrecha. Hine lo yanum velo yishan, shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomrecha, Adonai tzolcha al yad yiminecha. Yomam ha-shemesh lo yakeka, ve'yareach balayla. Adonai yishmarcha mikol ra, yishmar es nafshecha. Adonai yishmar tzeizcha uva'echa, me'ata v'yad olam. Tilim Kuflamed 130. Shira malos mimamakim kirasicha Adonai. Denai shima v'koli, tienas necha kashuvos v'kol tachanunai. Im avonos tishmar ya, Adonai mi ya'amod. Im chas licha, l'man tivare. Yivisi Adonai kibza nafshi, v'lidvaro ho'chalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomrim l'boker, shomrim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael Adonai, kim Adonai achesed. Darbei imo fedus. Vuhu yifdes Yisrael mikol avonosav. Misha berachom v'senu avram yitzok Yaakov Moshe Aaron David Shlomo hui berach v'rap ha'zacholim. Ha'zacholos. Bavor shah anachnu mitbalim bavor ram b'tzchar zev kadosh baruch hu imalei rachamim aleihem. La
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Spivak. As we transition into the next segment of our call, first and foremost, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Thank you. Yeah, that's a struggle. It's been a struggle for like everybody else, but the West Orange community has been actually great. They're really trying to step up to the challenges. We set up a Chesed, active like Chesed committee. And my wife and I have been, even from the start of it, we've been going visiting people from the community. That we knock on doors and then we walk back and, check up on people. We do calls, the whole community, we do calls for everybody. We run virtual programs. We're trying to be there for people. It's hard.
Amazing. Amazing. That personal touch makes such a difference. The phone calls, the messages, the even going to that step of knocking on the door and to physically see people from a distance, it's so appreciated and meaningful to those, especially those who really have been homebound throughout. So to get us started, for our listeners who might not be as familiar with your community, would it be possible to give us a brief overview of the shul and the community in general?
Yeah, the community is a great, West Orange is a great, very close-knit community. The rabbis all get along very well. The shuls all are together on all important matters. We get together. We have errands. It's a really nice community that we have. Or Torah is a beautiful smaller shul. It's the second. We have ABJ&D is the biggest shul in town, and then we have Or Torah. And it's a beautiful kind of, it's a beautiful place where everybody tries to help each other out. It's all run by volunteers. It's the type of place you could just kind of jump in and get active, and people do. And we have, it's really nice. Everybody's very close together in the shul.
Amazing. Certainly we want to hear about a community of the Achdus that generates from top down and from bottom up. It's really wonderful. What motivated you? What propelled, what drove you to go into the rabbinate, specifically to become the rabbi of a shul, become the pulpit rabbi?
It's funny. My wife was once at a Rebbetzin's gathering conference, and so the Rebbetzins were all sitting around, and someone asked, so how did you become a Rebbetzin? And so the first one said, well, I actually married a lawyer. And another one said, oh, I married a doctor. And but somehow they all, everybody had such a thing, and then they all somehow ended up becoming a Rebbetzin. So I also didn't start out. I started out, I was thinking, oh, I have a master's degree in health administration, but got involved. I got involved in creating YU Torah. It seems that Hashem just put me in different situations. So I saw the need for, YU Torah. So I created YU Torah, and that got me into technology. And then after I did that, I worked for YU for a while. It took me 7 years for that, to build YU Torah. And then from there, I went to, I worked at SAR and health administration. But at the time, I wanted to see how I could help Klal Yisrael. And so while I was working in technology, I looked to help out, and I saw that it was, I liked doing pulpit. And so I became rabbi at Congregation Or Torah, and now it's almost 19 years. This summer will be 19 years that I was at the show.
Wow. Wait, did you just take a step back for a moment? You started YU Torah?
Yeah.
Wow. What a success, the amount of Torah that's been learned by people globally around the world. Have been able
I
to,
just did the technology. I didn't do the shiurim or the main the white
shiurim.
100%.
But without the technology, without that framework, without the capacity to be able to go online via the app or the website, whatever it might be, we wouldn't be able to ask all of those wonderful rabbanim throughout the world and the other speakers. And so amazing. What a schuss. Our last question for the day. There's been so many changes to the world, from the Zooms to the masks to the social distancing, all the obvious ones. Our shuls have closed, they've reopened in different ways. Each community, each region of the country is going about it in a way that makes sense for that community. What communal changes do you anticipate for your community, for West Orange, for your shul, and perhaps even for the broader Jewish community as we look with optimism towards the future for perhaps one day a post-COVID-19 world?
Yeah, this is a magical question everybody keeps asking, is what is it going to look like? What is it going to look like after? And I think we have a lot of serious challenges ahead of us. Simply getting people back into shul alone, that's going to be a big challenge. And trying to help the children who have whose education has really suffered under COVID, and as well as I think the yeshivas have done an amazing job dealing with this, really amazing job. But it's not the same, and we have lots and lots of challenges, mental health challenges, and all types of challenges that we're going to have to deal with. But slowly, I think we're going to take baby steps. I don't expect we have a big kiddush, like these wedding kiddushes that we had for years. We have such a great volunteer staff in our shul, so we had this like wedding kiddush. I don't see that coming back very quickly. I think we're going to have to take baby steps and just try to get people comfortable again, what they like it to be feel like coming to shul, to coming back into groups. And then we're going to have to take, each challenge as it comes up and try to rebuild, and hopefully we'll be stronger from it.
Yeah, certainly so, and I think it's going to be one foot in front of the other, but those baby steps will move us in progressive, certainly forward, and not without challenge, but I think our communities are certainly up to it. Rabbi Tzivak, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community, as they are with all Klal Yisrael and of the entire world. Our thoughts, our tefillos, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all those in need will be answered latova for good, and may the Rabboni Sha'olam, the Master of the World, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again on Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time as we will hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Ezra Goldschmidt of Sha'arei Torah in Cincinnati, Ohio. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, restful, meaningful, healthy, and safe Shabbos. Shabbat Shalom.